from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is a Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, You're Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
Hi, I'm the guest, John Vosch. I have a trading solution, as I always do when I come on here.
Oh, he's fancy. I mean,
every time, Russ, guest, every time.
Technically guest, technically co-host, because Rocky didn't feel like showing up. He literally just texted me like 20 minutes ago, and he's like, I have better things to do, so I'm just not going to show up.
I wasn't told I had to host, so.
No, you're not. No one really co-hosts with me. I talk too much. It doesn't really matter. But
I have been on a podcast with you before. I am aware.
A few. All right. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to session 243 of Dynasty Get. No, I mean, hey, Dynasty. Well, no. Trade Addicts, the Trade Addicts podcast. Yes, that's what show we're doing. Proud member of the DLF family podcast. Also, the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And I did, at least. The playoffs are here. The playoffs are happening, hopefully. Well, know what? Again, you listened to our show, so you won. You rocked it. You're doing great. Congratulations. Assuming you didn't trade for, like, Miles Sanders or Pat Freiermuth or all the other players that just Deonta Foreman or so many people. But
Mark
it's happening.
Andrews.
We'll talk about that. Actually, no, we're not talking about that because I couldn't trade him away anywhere. But there is things are happening. So let's get through the news quickly because I don't want to talk about it because it makes me sad. Actually, no, there's some okay. No, it's sad. Well, Jalen Hurts sprained his throwing shoulder, which sucks. And he is expected to miss this week. It has not even like firmly been declared that he's missing. But at this point, we have to assume. How panicked are you in your leagues if you have Hurts right now, John?
I'm very panicked. I mean, I'm not trading Hurts to replace him, but I am definitely trying to line up a backup. You know, hopefully I've got a second round pick that I can go and get anybody. Like, give me any starting quarterback. Hopefully I already have that. I mean, throughout the season, I am one of those people that I will put Colt McCoy on my rosters. I will put Brett Rippon on my rosters. And, you know, like I have a whole bunch of quarterbacks that I never want to have to play. And I'll be very disappointed if I have to play. I have Gardner Minshew on teams. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a couple of teams that I was looking at my lineups and I'm like, oh man, I really want Hurts to be playing this weekend for all my other teams. But for these couple of teams, it's like Matt Ryan versus Gardner Minshew. And I'm like, maybe Gardner Minshew, I don't, you know. So you should have already been prepared for this. If not, I'm going out and I'm I am definitely preparing for him to not play this week.
Yeah, and I think the route to go, if you are sort of boned in that you did not, like me, think ahead and grab all of those lower level guys, I would find, I don't even care if teams are competing because maybe they just don't pay attention and they don't care. I would send a third for the worst QBs in the league if I had to, because chances are you're still going to get more than the, at least we start 10 people, so it'd be like the 12th best player on your team. You know, so if you feel that, like, if you're, if you don't have the depth, like I don't, because I hate making decisions, so I don't have depth on my teams. You know, I will start at the bottom. You know, usually when you want to trade, you start at the top and work your way down.
Go offer, like, a third for Minshew right now.
Like, third for Minshew. I mean,
and the person with Minshew should be happy to take that. They're going to end up saying, I want a second. I mean, like, do you really think, like, you're not going to get a second from anybody else.
I mean, everyone's going to
take your third or not.
Like, I definitely agree where I am. If they're saying that they're not even sure he's not playing this week, which he won't, especially because it's a shorter week, even though it's just a day, it makes me feel like he's not going to miss next week. So I am not panicking. Like John said, I am not freaking out. I'm not trading away.
I think that can change, because if they manage to win without him,
he might bench him.
Then why risk it until the playoffs? I mean, if you can keep him
to clinch the one seed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they manage to get by this week, you know, they play Dallas this week, right? So, like, if they beat Dallas, that's, if they can manage, I don't think they can beat Dallas without Hurts, but if somehow they were to do it, like, there's a lot of motivation to keep pushing that limit and not push him back. You want him healthy in 3 weeks if you're Philadelphia. You don't care about today, tomorrow, the next day, this week, the week after. You care about 3 or 4 weeks from now, whenever their first game will be.
Yeah. Okay. You scared me a lot more and I don't appreciate it.
All right. This is why I, when you said how panicked, I mean, again, I never panic because whatever, but I'm preparing. It's not panic. It's preparation. That's all it is.
All right. So I'm going to take my time editing with heavy quotes this show and putting it out, and so I can go scoop up a couple of lower end QBs on my Hurts teams, though one of them got eliminated this week, which I'll probably bitch about a little later. Next we have Jonathan Taylor is out for the season.
Yeah, as he should be. I mean,
yeah, but also if you are winning, chances are it is not due to Jonathan Taylor.
Nope.
So this isn't really the death knell. Honestly, I feel like if I don't have Jonathan Taylor, but if I have Jonathan Taylor in any of my teams, I think I try and trade him now.
I just let him sit. I mean, unless I'm contending, if I'm contending and I can get a piece to help me over the next couple of weeks, I'd rather, obviously you trade an injured running back for a wide receiver anytime, but
like, especially because you're going to have those people that will refuse to put a rookie running back as the RB1, which we will talk about later.
Fools.
Yes. It will be tough to argue with when the time actually comes, but you will still have people that have Jonathan Taylor as the RB1, RB2. So selling him at a quote unquote discount because he's hurt, even though for you, it's probably the regular price if they still believe Jonathan Taylor is that RB1, RB2. But again, I don't have any because I've been unhappy with his price ever since he was the RB1.
Same. I'll like Bijan Robinson until right after rookie drafts.
Yeah.
And then he'll be out of my price range.
Yeah, never going to pay for him otherwise. Nope. Okay, so the next two are interesting. Well, one is for me because either I have Kelce, Mark Andrews, or chances are I was riding most of the season on Hayden Hurst. And I don't know, I just had him on a lot of teams. And especially while Chase was out, he was doing really well. He's practicing again, which is nice. I put this in here for a few reasons. One,
to please yourself.
Just to make me a little happy. Okay. But also, it's another target. And that offense has been streaky. So not that I'm going to not play Chase or Higgins or any of that because Hayden Hurst is back.
Hey, you saw me not playing Chase in a lineup and I ended up trading him away.
Yeah, well, ask John about his rosters. But it's happening, and it made me happy, so I put it on there, because this is my freaking show, and I get to do that. Next one is a little more interesting. Damian Harris limited practice all last week, but didn't play, and is limited in practice again this week, which means he's probably going to play. And again, I don't have any Ramondre Stevenson, but I feel like it's a little bit of an issue. It's not a big issue, because I did a little look into Ramondre Stevenson a couple of weeks ago, and while he did lose rushing touches to Damian Harris, he had more receptions whenever Harris played than when he was by himself. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it might be game scripted out if the Patriots magically start doing well and don't need to pass the ball. Again, I don't think this is bad. It's just a thing to keep in mind. Does this do anything to anything for you?
Damian Harris does nothing for me. It does not affect Stevenson. Nope. Does not change how I feel about Stevenson. Stevenson, if I have him, he's a locked in starter.
Fair enough.
Nope. I wouldn't bench him just because Damian Harris is back. Damian Harris might get what, like a goal line carry? he'll get a little bit more work, but overall it doesn't bother me.
Instead of Stevenson getting 16 touches, it'll end up, they run more when Harris is there. It'll end up being 11 or 12 each. But Ramondre ends up with like 10 targets as opposed to like, so again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just change, and change now of all times is scary. So I just wanted to talk about it a little bit, because when you're scared of things, you talk about it, and that helps you confront your fears. John's not entertained by my idiocy. Like, come on.
No, Damian Harris does nothing to, like, he does not affect my feelings on Ramondre Stevenson. Just not even at all.
All right. Cool.
You don't have Ramondre, which means I'm assuming you do not like Ramondre Stevenson, which means then you want to confirm that you do not like him by Damian Harris will be affecting him.
It has nothing to do with liking or not. I've literally looked at the touches. Like, it's numbers. It's not feeling. I mean, I have never been able to pay the price that people want for Stevenson, and rightly are asking. He should be worth a first. He is scoring that well. He is young. If you cared about Damian Harris at any point, Damian Harris is a free agent and will most likely be gone. And their rookie running back this year, there's another Harris, but he could be what he is this year. There's no reason he won't be next year, except that it's the Patriots and running backs, and we're terrified of the Patriots running backs. So, no, I do like Ramondre Stevenson. I just don't have it in me to pay first for him, so I don't have him anywhere. All right, well, that's the news. Like I said, like, thankfully, there wasn't all that much that went down. So it was easy enough to just get by that and keep going. But now that we're here, if you want to consider yourself the guest, that means you get to choose. Do you want to do our one listener question or our many trades first?
Well, let's do the listener question. Sure.
All right, good. Because we were going to talk about this, at C2C Dynasty Merc. That is Justin Mercer, who was on our show. Man, I don't even know what time means anymore. I was going to say a couple of shows ago, but it might have been like 2-3 months at this point. Now that Bijan has officially declared for the draft, what are we paying for the 23-101? Like we were saying before, Bijan is the running back one in Dynasty at this point right now. He will be, clearly that means, the 101 in Superflex rookie drafts also. And will most likely be a first-round startup pick in startup drafts. So what are you, John, paying for the 101 right now? And I know this is an insanely vague question because there's no real point of reference, but, you know, you're a competing team. You have your first. You have the 112 because you just won the league. And you're like, you know what? I did it on the backs of Jerick McKinnon and James Conner. And you know what? I'm going to add something to the 112 to try and go up to the 101. So I can just have fun with Bijan for a year and then trade him away after that because he's a running back. What do you think on top of that late first will it take to get up to the 101?
A lot. I think it would have to be like the 102 on top of it. As for like a player, I think you would honestly have to be looking at like CMC plus the 112. Like if you're thinking running back.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor's probably heavy. but I bet Jonathan Taylor plus an early second is what it would take to get to the 101.
I would give, again, I don't have it anywhere, so it's insanely hypothetical, but I would give Jonathan Taylor in the 112 to go get Bijan.
Wide receiver wise, I'm not adding the top tier, you know, those two, obviously. I'm not adding Olave Waddle, who I love. I think you're in the wide receiver range. You're talking, would you add like Davante Adams in the 112? Easily. Would you add Tyreek Hill in the 112?
All right. Well, you're cheating because you're getting a little too
close.
Old.
Yeah, but that's close. Like, I don't know that I would give Tyreek Hill in the 112. Probably. I don't know. I would have to, at that point, then it would depend on what the rest of the roster looks like. But what do you have? You have a question.
Would you go young, good running back? Would you do Breece Hall in the 112?
Easily.
Okay.
100%.
All right.
I wanted to trade the 101 last year for first round picks for this year. So, yeah.
Would you trade Mark Andrews for the 101?
So this is tough because, you know, because I hate the tight end position so much, I then love the few tight ends where I feel somewhat comfortable. They have a future of being an every week starter for me. And God, it's been sucking with Mark Andrews. Sucking. But the good outweighs the bad with Mark Andrews. Even though he's not been great, he is a tight end that I feel fine clicking that button on every week. That's rare. There's like Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. I mean, right now I kind of feel okay like clicking the button for Hockenson. Goddard's back, so I'm going to hope that he comes right back in. I can click that button. Pitts, I will click the button for in 2023, without any issues, but even those, like those last three, they're all like, not as consistent as a point score as I would like them to be. Andrews is tough. That's a line. We've talked about this a little bit, so it would depend on what my other option is at tight end. If I have, let's say I have like Freiermuth on my bench and it's, well, you can start either Mark Andrews and some scrub running back you find off of the waiver wire that ends up putting up 20 points a week because that's just what running backs do. Or Pat Freiermuth and Bijan Robinson.
Or
probably gonna want to just keep Andrews.
Or you can trade it, get Bijan Robinson and just start. Chakizium Okonkwo,
yeah,
who is the tight end three in the past 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
He's been doing well.
It's a good thing we traded for Pat Freiermuth.
I wasn't even bringing it up for that reason, but yes, should have kept Hockenson. That's all right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So real quick, I pulled up, we have December ADP on DLF now, which always love new stuff. Mark Andrews in a one quarterback startup is the 11th player overall. Now,
Bijan's going to go before that.
Yeah. I was going to go down the list and
probably not if I'm in the startup, but I would never do a draft startup again. But if I'm in there, I'm taking the tight end first. Like in a super flex, I'm going to go a couple of quarterbacks, but I'm going to take the tight end before a running back because once the tight ends are gone that you feel comfortable with, it's just don't take any. I mean, you either take one early or you just don't take any and then take like 10 of them in the last two rounds, like collect all those garbage picks and pick all the tight ends that are left.
So. All right. So we have 101, 102, Jefferson and Chase like that.
Yeah, they're obviously above Bijan.
They should go before Bijan though. I'm sure there's going to be RB crazy people that will take him first and that's stretching it. But after him,
there'll be somebody that wants to take him at the 101 just so they can say they took him at the 101 at a startup.
Yeah, absolutely. Then there's Jonathan Taylor, which we have both been saying Bijan RB1. So clearly it's above Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I mean I'm not taking Jonathan Taylor at three. That's
no.
Heck no.
AJ Brown, CD Lamb.
AJ Brown, yes. CeeDee Lamb, probably taking CeeDee Lamb. Like, that's close.
After, Kenneth Walker, again, I'm just going to skip over
not even close.
At this point because we already said that he's the RB1. Yeah. Jalen Waddle is wide receiver 5, player number 7.
I'm probably taking Waddle. Like, Waddle, Lamb, and Olave, you know, that's a little tier for me that I love that little pocket of wide receivers.
in that pocket in between Waddle and Olave, Breece Hall, T. Higgins, Saquon Barkley, Mark Andrews, Stephon Diggs.
I'll probably take Bijan over all of them.
I would take Bijan over all of them as well, which means we're putting Bijan somewhere around like the 106.
Yep. In one startup. QB. Yeah.
And that is still ahead of Andrews, just saying.
Yeah. I mean, like that I would probably take Andrews, but I can see that argument that he'd be ahead.
Yeah.
And I know I'll get hate, but I would probably still. I would probably, if I was doing some sort of a startup that was draft based, I would still consider Pitts just for the same exact reason I would have considered him last year.
Yeah. I mean, he's still like 16 years old and insanely athletic, and that team can't get worse at passing the ball. So
I don't know. I don't think Ritter did all that great. So
he tried his best, and that's what's important.
Oh man.
Okay. Well, I mean, since it's such a hypothetical and what would you pay, it's really tough to give a defined answer. I hope we gave you some idea of the value we put on it.
And let's talk about it. Let's say what would you like? What would you expect if you have the 101? What offer has to hit you in the inbox to go,
here's
you know
the
what?
Thing.
Maybe I'll give up that 101.
If I earned the 101, I'm not one for wanting it. Like, if I earned the 101, my team
I
is
want, like,
that
three
bad.
Players, and one of them better want, be really good.
I probably want a player. Since we're talking Superflex in all of my leagues, I can say someone like T. Higgins, and it's not, like, as top tier as it would be in one quarterback. Mm-hmm. But, like, I want someone like Higgins, Waddle, Olave, Garrett Wilson. Someone who is young, someone I like a lot, and someone who has shown they can score points. And then I want a heavy pick on top of that. Like, to me, is in a super flex, there's tiers already, and it's the 101 tier of its own, the 102 and 103, because those are going to be two quarterbacks, which apparently people don't know. And so listen to the show and know that the 102 and 103 is a tier in a super flex because those are going to be two quarterbacks. And then you got the 104 and like the next 8 to 10 picks.
No, I think there's another little tier break.
There probably is, but I don't know it well enough.
So okay. I just don't care about the rest. I think it's around like 7 or 8.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get Jahmyr Gibbs, assuming he doesn't land somewhere crappy. And then there's Smith and Jigbo and Addison. Mm. Like, there's a couple of very good receivers. And, you know, we were talking to Kane earlier today, who was saying how many good running backs there are in this class. So it's, I think we're going to get a jumble of a lot of pick your player when you get to that zone. But still, like, to me, there's tiers in that 1 and then 2 and 3. So you have to go heavy. Like, I was talking about trading down from the 103 in Trade Addicts 1 because I have the 2 and the 3. So I'm like, well, let me pick my quarterback and then I'll trade someone else. And no one seemed to really understand why I was asking so much to move up 3 or 4 picks.
Just wait. They will.
I know, but I'm so impatient. Like,
maybe you could be patient. Maybe don't do an outhouse challenge until.
Oh God, no! That I know better than that. At least, I was about to say, give me that, but no. I feel like it needs to be said out loud. I do at least know that I shouldn't do that. So, if I'm trading away the 101, and if I'm getting someone of the Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, I probably want another like a mid first on top at least, and then a second. And honestly, I don't know if I feel great about doing that, but I think it's good. I think it's okay value. In which case, do you trade away Bijan Robinson for okay value?
I would trade away Bijan Robinson for Olave Wilson and a first.
I said or. Yes, oh, both of
or,
them I would
you
do
said
it
or. Oh, you said or.
Like, I yeah, got I mean, offered. I got.
I'd rather offered, have Olave, but.
Oh, what was it? There was Christian Watson and Devonta Smith and some other things for the 102 and 103. I rejected that real fast. And then I stopped and I thought, like,
depends on your quarterback situation, I think.
Well, I mean, it's bad. But, like, honestly, I don't think I trade the 103 for them two right now. Because to me, those are both late firsts.
Yeah, they're both kind of worth, like, that 110 to 112 range.
And are you going to do two of those for a quarterback that's going to be drafted most likely in the top five in the NFL draft?
Probably not. It's not terribly far off. It would depend on what all the other stuff was. I think that's why the person put all the other stuff in there, was to make it look like it was a lot more. But of course,
it was not. It added absolutely nothing to the trade. Thirds and fourths and players. I don't even remember their names. That's how insignificant.
Cuttable fluff.
Yeah. Like, so I really think trading in the top end of this draft is just going to get harder. So if you want to try and go for the 102, like, if you need a quarterback in this super flex draft, try for the 102 and 103 and see if people don't realize that that is a tier yet. Because apparently, when I'm trying to take advantage of it, people don't. So see if you can take advantage of people not knowing. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about draft pick-wise before we move on to the trades?
No, hopefully that helps the listener.
It was a great question. That's why I was asking if you had any other good questions before we moved on.
Tis the season to talk about the 101.
Oh, and it's going to be for a long, long time. What do we got?
Oh, yes.
5 months? Well, four and change. All right, so let's move on to Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leads are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And a little bit of ridiculousness happened in TA1. This was me and Kenny, who neither of us made the playoffs. Both of our teams are quite bad. But for some reason, he sent me David Bell, Jerry Jeudy, and Wandale Robinson for A.J. Dillon, Cole Kmet, Trey McBride, a third, and a fourth. And I looked at this, and I'm trying to, like, figure it out. I'm like, this equals that, that equals that. I don't care. I'm just going to hit accept.
Oh, my God. Don't, Russ. I think people know that you do that, and I think that's why they do this. Okay, say it one more time. It was Wandale. Who were all the receivers?
David Bell,
that was it.
Jerry Jeudy and Wandale Robinson for A.J. Dillon. And, of course, this was before A.J. Dillon felt like beasting out. Cole Kmet, Trey McBride, and a third and a fourth.
I mean, I want the receivers side, of course, because they're receivers. I think Jeudy's the best player in the trade. And I still hold out some hope for Wandale Robinson. Like, I like the talent. So I think I would have just taken the wide receiver side. I am never going to be on the Cole Kmet train. Trey McBride, that's nice, but I'm just everything about Arizona screams dumpster fire upcoming. So kind of not there. And then, I mean, AJ Dillon, yeah, he is always really good at the end of the year. And it's like next year, and then next year begins and you're like, well, remember December.
Well,
it'll be here again.
Derrick Henry did that to us like twice before he became Derrick Henry. So just saying AJ Dillon is the next Derrick Henry.
Not going to say that AJ Dillon's Derrick Henry. If somebody is associating me with AJ Dillon as Derrick Henry, cancel that out of your mind right now and disassociate that. I want no part of that correlation or any, no.
Well, everything you just said out loud is exactly what went through my mind. And that's really why I just said, I don't really care. All the value is so weird and low on this. I'm just going to take the players I like more. And it was the wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, a lot of these guys are guys you end up not wanting to put in your starting lineup. They're maybe that roster clogger category or close. Maybe not all the way, but they're close. You know, it's going to be tough. How long do you have to wait? It's McBride's a tight end, so we have to be a little patient. Hopefully next year we see some things, but like Ertz could be back there, and it could be the same scenario. So then you got to wait another year. You know, maybe he gets developed a little bit. He hasn't been doing much without him. So, like, granted, it's a rookie tight end, so you have to be patient. But
not having Kyler,
you know,
hurts as well, even though the last two games McBride has like 6 and 8 targets. But I love David Bell. I like his, I realize with the rookie year he had, it is probably
for me. I didn't even rate him in this trade.
I really like Jerry Jeudy, and I talk about him all the time. He's doing weirdly well now, even though the Broncos are doing terrible. Plus, I just want him to go somewhere else.
Sutton's not on the field.
That also helps. And I agree with you. Wandale looked really good when he was on the field. And that game he got hurt, he was showing he can be good with volume. And again, it's not bad when the Giants are going to draft a high wide receiver. They should. They will, most likely. And that's not bad for Wandale Robinson. Like, nope. I think we need to really get over this. Oh, Tyreek there is going to hurt Waddle. Oh, no, Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be bad once Jameson Williams starts playing. Like, no.
That's good just team. It's not a thing anymore. Like, it used to matter when NFL offenses scored, like, 20-something points a game. Like, good offenses now put up 30 points a game. So, like... Yeah. If they're in a good offense, they're just going to keep scoring. The rules have changed. They favor the offense. There's a reason. It's more fun. It's more exciting when points are scored. Like, the NFL is not dumb. They want these super teams scoring points and people cheering and getting excited. So there's plenty to go around.
Yep. Exactly there with you. All right. Well, John picked one of my sides. It's a great start.
Dang it.
Next, we move on to Trade Addicts 3, and honestly, I have no idea what was going on in this one. This is Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, I'm going to skip over nothing, and Cortland Sutton. So Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Cortland Sutton for Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, and Tyler Lockett. So let me rephrase this to you. If you were a competing team, would you send Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Cortland Sutton for Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, and Tyler Lockett?
This happened before week 15, I assume. Like, when Russell Wilson was out. So this person was probably looking at their playoff matchup and going, well, I made the playoffs. I already knew I was down Stafford. Now I'm down Russ, too. Well, what the hell? I'm in the playoffs. Let's see, like... They're rolling the dice. I mean, they gave up three guys that weren't going to play last week for three guys that played last week. So, wait, was Lockett already hurt? Was he already out?
Nope, hurt himself in the game.
He got hurt in that game. Yeah, so.
Scored like two or 4 points or something like that and left. Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, but it was.
Again, it's not like we saw
it. It was the right move.
Yeah.
I mean, Russ and Goff, I think they're about equal value right now. Goff might be more valuable.
So weird.
Honest to God. Goff might be more valuable right now. And Stafford and Jones, like, yeah, fine, whatever. Like, one of them's playing, so he's more valuable right now. Lockett versus Sutton. Sutton was not playing. He was out. If Sutton had been playing, then I would want Sutton. But, you know, you got to give some.
Yeah.
The person that gave up, Goff, Jones, and Lockett, they timed that right.
Yeah.
It was very good timing to make that deal. That's why you got to look, people. Got to look every week.
And I got to be honest, like, if I made the playoffs and I saw that, well, I just made the playoffs with Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford. Yeah, I would do that. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
I also, just because personally, I like, no, okay, Goff isn't a personal thing. They like Goff there. That offense is doing really well. There are rumors of them talking extension. But even still, let's move on, because I think Daniel Jones has also shown that he is good enough to start somewhere. And I still think both of these players start for their teams. I think Goff stays in Detroit, and I still – well, his contract's up. I think they negotiate a new contract. So
I think he stays there as well. I mean, there are – The options to replace him are not great. Like,
yeah, and they're not bad enough to get one of those top drafted quarterbacks. And free agency, you know. So I do think they stay with Daniel Jones, in which case this isn't that short term of a play. So I would do it. I would do that. It makes me sad because I am in the playoffs and I am not one of these teams. So one of these teams got better. So. That sucks, but it's the right move. real quick, I was looking to see if there's any more trade, not trade, listener questions, and I got tagged otherwise in something. I am not really a points per carry person, but listen to this trade. 12 team, two quarterback, 2 points per carry. Would you trade? Well, which side do you prefer?
Say that. Justin, say, you said 2 points per carry?
0.2.
Oh, 0.2. Okay.
Wow. 2 points per carry.
There was a cutout and I was like, wait, did he say 2 points per carry?
No, no, no.
I'll take whatever running back it is.
But there's no running backs. It's Justin Fields.
Why would that? Oh, well, okay.
For Cooper Kupp, Aaron Rodgers, and a late 23 first. Now, again, I don't really play anything with points per carry, but I have to feel like this is far and away Justin Fields.
Yeah, I want Fields here. I mean,
without thinking about it, right?
I'm pretty much done with Rodgers. Kupp, anywhere I have Kupp, as soon as he's healthy and on the field, I want to move him. Like, as soon as I see a training video of him, I don't know that I have him on left on a lot of teams, unfortunately. But I would give all that. Yeah, you said a late first. No problem. Give me Kupp,
Rodgers, and a late first. I so easily for a young quarterback and 12-team, two quarterback, 2 point. Man, you have me saying 2 points per carry. 0.2 points per carry. Like, that is very, very easily Fields for me.
I don't think they can rein in his running. They might want to at some point for, you know, health issues, things like that.
To get a little better.
But we saw what happened when they weren't really letting Justin Fields play like Justin Fields can play. It looked terrible.
Yeah.
It looked like, well, this is going to be the end of Justin Fields in the Chicago experiment. It's going to hit the reset button.
I was worried. I'm not going to lie.
I was too. I think everybody had a reason to be worried, because if they're not going to use him correctly, it's not going to work. Something happened. So something got through the offensive game planning, and they opened it up after a little while of looking terrible. And so he is running, and I think you can expect that every single game, that he's going to get a nice carry workload. And I mean, it's not a huge amount, 0.2 points, but you know what?
Not zero. Yeah. 0.2. Sorry.
Yes, I say leading zeros because I'm correct. So that's probably why I didn't hear when you said 0.2.
Gotcha.
Cause you didn't say zero.
I do not 0.2. Do leading zeros.
You should.
Look, I'm not at work. I don't need to, I'm not talking bank accounts or crap like that. I don't need to do leading zeros.
Leading zero is better. All right. So nonetheless, I would take Fields.
Okay. But we need to lead into this next trade for a second.
Sleeper, trade of the week. Sleeper, trade of the week. We're going to talk about a Trade Addicts trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
I wonder how many people that listen to your podcast, like, no, that's real big.
Have no idea what that actually is. Yeah. And why I think it's hilarious. But
I still have a Real Big Fish shirt. I couldn't sell it, because even though I sold a lot of my concert shirts recently, I still have this one because I like cut the grass in it stuff. So it's all beat up. So it's just not one that I can sell. But
nothing made a teenager band geek feel as cool in the 90s as being able to play that song on an instrument.
What did you play, like the trumpet, the trombone?
I played the trombone and the saxophone.
Okay. It's like,
well, many, many more things, but those are the instruments I knew how to play some Real Big Fish on.
Nice.
Yeah, big geek over here. Okay,
you
but
had checkered shoes, didn't you?
I had what?
You definitely ska danced. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
I still do it now. It's all I got. I don't have any dance moves. I'm stuck in the 90s, man. I could bust out the robot a little too, even though I know that's, you know, 80s, but whatever. So in Trade Addicts 3, this happened, and it was self-appointed homerism when it went down, but it still made me happy to see. Someone traded, and I love that we know actual picks for at least half of our leagues now. The 103 got traded for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, I mean, the 104, I think you can make the argument.
The 104, I do without thinking.
Yes. The 103, like we've already discussed, that's a quarterback.
That is a quarterback.
Maybe they knew you know, what is their quarterback situation? You actually should be able to know that.
I want to talk without context first, and then we'll go into context.
I want the 103 without context.
Okay. It's really, really, really close for me. And depending on the situation of my team would really, really change what I do. But if you're looking to move the 103 for a player, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is a great outcome. I'm curious to see how much higher you really could go. And we need to get individual pick values in the trade analyzer so we can actually talk about it right now, but we don't, so we can't. So I'd be good with that. Okay, but here, let me pull up the team real fast, because the thing is, the team that sent the 103 did not earn the 103. They are in the playoffs, and they won the last week, so they're still in the playoffs.
So they're not thinking just next year; they're thinking Amon-Ra St. Brown down the stretch here too. That's a nice little added bonus. Then I really so. As you're contextualizing this, obviously it's going to end up being Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Which sucks because I'm playing him this week.
Good job by that person.
I play that guy.
Russ is like, why didn't I institute a trade deadline?
No, no, no. I don't care how badly it makes me lose. No, 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 no. Okay, so... it's clearly, especially after that, very well known how I feel about trade deadlines. And if you've ever listened to John talk, you know how he feels about trade deadlines. And
I did a full 180, by the way, for those that don't know. I mean, my leagues initially had trade deadlines. I was dumb. I did a full 180 and just literally removed all of them from all of my leagues.
And it's funny because Rocky also, when he first was like on the show, I don't think it was when he was hosting yet, but like he guessed it on the show a couple of times and was staunchly for having a trade deadline. And now he's completely against it. But in the DLF Discord, someone asked a question in the commissioner chat channel, whatever you want to call it, you know, a question about a trade deadline. So people just started talking about whether you have a trade deadline or not. And someone said, I am avidly against no trade deadline. So I'm like, okay, wait, wait, wait. As always, and I feel like this is always, you are not for having a deadline. You are against not having a deadline. I have not found a solid argument for having a deadline.
We shouldn't turn this into a trade deadline show.
We can't, because we both agree.
Yeah, like, but I mean, we could still talk for a half hour on why we agree.
I'll move on. But I'm not instituting a trade. Actually, you know what? Everyone but me can. No one can trade but me, except for when people are trading with me.
That I'm down for. I tried that in one of my leagues earlier. I traded Deebo Samuel in second for Devontae Adams. God, can you imagine trading for Devontae Adams when you're trying to advance in your playoffs? It's got to work out.
It definitely has to work out in getting you kicked out in the first round.
As soon as I did that, then the guy that I'm playing this week started talking to people openly in the chat, seeing who he can counter with to come back at me. And I said, no, the trade deadline just passed. Actually,
just passed. So
they still made a trade. Like, they just completely ignored what I said, as if I have no power.
You get to kick them out now. I think
that's law. I'm running off with their money. It's all over. I'm taking absolutely. Everybody's like $25 buy-ins. They'll never see me again. They don't know me.
Yeah. No one knows who you are. You don't run anything big or important. But that is your trade of the week, brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to their platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. Also, Trade Addicts 3, which was apparently just very active this week, because we have a few more. Someone sent a late first, so it is a team that is still in the playoffs, so I can't give you what pick it is, and a third for Jameson Williams.
Say that one more time. What? Something for...
A late first, so it's someone still in the playoffs. So at this point, that's 6, 7, 8, 109 through 12.
That's probably fair. You're not getting him for a second. I mean, like, that's fair. I don't think Jameson Williams is how I would want to use my late first, especially in the playoffs. I do know Detroit also, has
you
a
have
good
to
schedule.
Remember like the timing of a lot of these trades. A lot of these trades were done before the weekend that just passed. So this trade was done before the games.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think they hoped to have Jameson Williams help them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I understand that. I think there was probably other players you could have hoped more for help and maybe gotten help.
But at least now you don't feel bad because you feel great going forward.
I mean, yeah, it's not terrible to have Jameson Williams. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not how I would use my late first this time.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, but here's our, I feel like it's really weird. Like, if he missed the entire season, honestly, I think it would have been fine. I don't think it would have messed with his value. It would have held that intrigue value and would have kept him where it was. He's played 3 games and has a total of 4 targets. It just so happens one of those catches was for a touchdown, and it happened to be his first catch in the NFL.
It was really nice.
It really was. But
it actually, I think it could have been a better pass, right? Like, I'm trying to remember the highlight. Didn't he kind of have to, like, stop?
Yeah, he adjusted.
If he hit it in stride, it would have looked even prettier.
He adjusted hard for it. But are you worried at all that he is now playing but still barely earning targets on his team?
No. I mean, because I don't want to say that like Goff is in a rhythm with the rest of the offense, because that would just seem strange. But Detroit's been effective this year. Like, they're, you know, they've had some success. So I think when a new component comes in, it's not like he's a returning component. He's a brand new component. Like, that's going to take time to develop that relationship. It's tough for a rookie that has had no exposure with the team to be able to just jump in. Like, there's a reason that wide receivers, when they switch teams in the past, it took some time and it wasn't always a good thing. I think now that's kind of, now that that's understood, I would assume when a Tyreek ends up switching, you know what? Tyreek and Waddle, or Tyreek Waddle and Tua, they become good friends. They get close. Diggs, when he goes to Buffalo, he gets close. Like, they figure out how to speed this timing up a little bit. It's just that you can't do that, though, when you're hurt, you're rehabbing. So, you know, a new player into an offense, especially a receiver with a quarterback that, let's just say, is not interchangeable. I think Goff needs that security, needs that relationship development and stuff like that, needs that timing. I think they can get there. I have no problems with Jameson Williams. It's just I don't think I would have been expecting much from him this year. Like, once we got this long into the season without seeing him, I am glad that he's back. It's awesome. I was really happy. I loved that touchdown. It was awesome. But, you know, I don't think I can even put – I'm not putting him in my starting lineups. There's a lot of other receivers I would start above him every single week.
Okay.
And because of that, I'm not going to use my 110, 111, 112 to go get him. Because if I'm going to use that right now, I want a guy I am putting in my starting lineup that I think is going to help me win the week. I don't think that's what Jameson Williams provides for the next few weeks. Future-wise, fine.
Speaking of going for players that you will put in your starting lineup for the next 2 weeks, the next trade was TJ Hockenson for Dalvin Cook. We stayed on Minnesota Vikings trade all the way through.
This had to be somebody that has just a surplus of running backs and just had nobody. And was just starting. I don't even, you know, what bad tight end you want to throw out that they were starting.
Well, don't assume that this is 2 teams still in the playoffs right now.
Oh, that's true. I mean, if Dalvin Cook's, the Dalvin Cook team is out of the playoffs and trading to get TJ Hockenson, I, like, you know, that makes perfect sense, actually. And maybe whoever the TJ Hockenson was, you know, maybe that's they have Kelsey. They're sitting there going, I don't need a tight end. I can just throw them all away because I have Kelsey.
So I can't trade away Mark Andrews for the life of him. So he traded away Hockenson.
Is it you?
Yeah, it was me.
Okay. So you gave up Hawkinson for Dalvin Cook?
I did, yeah.
I mean, that makes sense in the playoffs.
Dalvin Cook, his next two games, Giants and Packers. In fantasy points allowed, Giants are 19th, Packers are 26th. So it's a nice schedule. Even though it seems like the Vikings like not really playing in the first half of games lately and scaring the crap out of us. And then, hey, let's throw for three touchdowns, one of which is like a 90-yard touchdown to Dalvin Cook. It's fine. But yeah, like that's my real move, what I was starting to do, because like I said many, many times throughout this show that I can't trade Mark Andrews away for the life of me. I was trying to work out a trade because this person just got kicked out of the playoffs. Something involving Mark Andrews for Tyreek Hill.
That'd be nice.
And this guy just honestly really, more than anything, didn't want to give up Tyreek Hill. So I'm like, you know what? All right. You know what? If nothing, I am flexible. I'll figure something else out. So I just threw Hawkinson first. So I'm like, you know what? Fine. I will just pray Mark Andrews remembers that he knows how to play football. And at least Huntley comes back this week, I think. So that's better than the undrafted free agent rookie quarterback. So hopefully something clicks and Mark Andrews does well, or I bench him and play Evan Engram. How did I get so many tight ends? I don't even know what's happening. But yeah, it felt like the right move for me. And honestly, I'm still kind of looking for something to do with Andrews, but I haven't figured it out yet because no one wants him from my
team. Start him.
I want someone who's going to score me points.
I know, but what are you going to do with him? You're going to start him.
You know who the tight end one is in the past four games?
Well, it's Evan Engram, because he had 80 million points in one of them.
Yeah, but it doesn't like he's doing well. He had one. I arbitrarily chose week 12 to week 15. Week 12, he put up 3 points. Ever since then, it's been over 15. One of them just happened to be about 50. You know, whatever. But he's still having a pretty decent past few game stretch. I'm all in on Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's a guy. He's good. I think that offense will just keep getting better.
This will be the Thursday night game. This will be the Thursday night game with just piles on the offense, right?
Oh, crap. I don't look at schedules. It's really bad. Oh, and it's first the Jets. All right, that's not a wide receiver.
It's going to be an offensive shootout.
You're always such a downer. Why did I ask you to come on?
You're going to start Mark Andrews. When you start looking at it, you're going to start Mark Andrews.
So this next one intrigued me a little bit. Someone in the playoffs traded David Montgomery for James Conner.
Okay, I'd rather have Connor down the last couple of games.
Yeah, because I checked out their schedules, and they both are okay. You know, one good, one bad.
I think Connor's is better this week.
Yes, Connor's better this week. Montgomery better the week after. But the Bears is the better offense.
This is DFS at this point, man. You just got to get by the week.
So, like,
how many teams did you have go out in week 15, Russ? That feeling sucks. So you just get through the week. You figure out next week, they might trade James Conner in a second right back for David Montgomery. Who cares?
Honestly, not going to lie, that would make me happy. Actually, no, they need to lose because that's the same team that got him on Ross St. Brown and, you know, the team I'm playing against.
It's going to be hilarious when they win because James Conner puts
on 25 or something. Oh, they're going to destroy me. I ran away with first place. Points for, I was up by 200-300. I had my bye, and I'm just going to get destroyed this week. It's what happens to me in TA leagues. It's why I still dance about winning TA 6 once 2 years ago.
Have you ever examined the reason behind that? You have said it yourself. You do not like to have depth. I know how you trade your picks away as fast as they come. So what happens is you get to the playoffs, you have you've spent everything. you can't gear up further. You have shown your full deck of cards, and that's why you got to save a little bit. Got to have a little bit of depth, Russ. I know it sucks to have those decisions to make, but get rid of that depth then when you're in the playoffs. And
I would, I'm in the play. Like, I would rather my team lose on its own merit as opposed to me being an idiot.
Yes, but now is the time when you have to get it down to, I don't need any more bench, and just unload everything. Give these okay. 3-for-1s.
So I think you and I need to co-own a lot of teams together. And the second we get to the playoffs, I just take my hands off the wheel and it's all yours.
No, now the playoffs is the time that you need to start making the trades. That's what I'm saying. But you get to the play. You just said you get to the playoffs after you're having great regular seasons and then you lose. That's because you spend everything in that regular season.
I just told you I traded for Dalvin Cook.
Correct. You did. But
take back all of the mean things you just said to me.
I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. That
and it hurts.
If you constantly make it as the 1 or 2 seed, but then you have no more assets, you're one injury away, and then like there's nothing you can do because you don't have the I know you don't keep your picks. I've seen how that works.
24 first on that team, actually.
Ooh.
Like, that's a big deal for me.
A big deal for you. That is a big deal for you. And there's a reason. It's because you don't want to make those starting lineup decisions, so you just make it easy. But that prevents future moves by a lot.
Okay, so we finally have finished with TA3 trades, and we move on to 5, where someone traded Debo for Mike Williams and a second. And I thought this was an insanely solid move.
I mean, I want Debo there, but Debo's hurt. So if you're, and I moved Debo today. I moved Debo in a second for Adams. I would not have done that if Debo wasn't hurt. You're in the playoffs. You have to, like, I preach all the time. Do not trade the injured player to replace the injured player. Running backs, I don't care so much. Like, that's fine. If a running back gets hurt, whatever, trade them away, get anything else for them. But wide receivers is where I really do try to preach that. Don't trade the injured receiver to replace the receiver because you're just not going to get the value. I mean, Debo got hurt. His value just tank. Like, there's no way around it. And unfortunately, that's what the person wanted. That was what it took to get it done. Was I had Debo's worth more than Adams because of his age. Next year, I bet he's worth more just because of it. Once they're both healthy and on the field, like all things being equal, I'll bet you Debo has more trade value. Or at least is equal, and it's not Debo plus a second to get to Adams. But I don't care. Denver. Like I just cast the second off. It doesn't matter to me. I really don't care. I offered Debo in a third because like I felt that was fair. It was it's auction money. So it wasn't just like a garbage pick. It was a stipend of auction money that the third was equal to. They came back with Debo. Actually, they rejected it. And I was like, well shit, I got the alert. And then I immediately, as I'm sending them the message of the next offer of Debo in a second, because I just wanted to get it done. I got an offer from them of Debo in a second. I'm like, fine, except like whatever, you know. As I literally hit send, and then it got, it's the same time from them, the same exact offer. I was going to send it to them. They countered it. And I just took it. Whatever. Cast off that second. Sucks. But so it was Debo for Mike Williams in a second.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want the Debo side by a ton. I completely agree with doing it. You suck it up. You're playing Mike Williams. I think the Chargers have a pretty favorable next couple of weeks as well. So. Like, it sucks. It's just what you do this time of year. You're giving up a lot of value there to go down from Debo to Mike Williams in a second. Whether you're a big-time, big receiver from Clemson fan or whatever.
Yeah, Clemson's a big wide receiver.
You know, it's a big downgrade. Points-wise, you're going to get a lot more points, hopefully, in the next 2 weeks.
Freaking hope so. So... hold on. I pulled up the analyzer in ADP, December ADP. They are 3 wide receivers apart. Debo was like wide receiver 15, Devontae wide receiver 18. Over in the analyzer, Debo is worth a 23 mid first at 404 points. And hold on. Let's. Devontae Adams, 493.97.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not far apart, and that's only that's literally an injury discount of like 10% right now.
I mean, that's honestly in between a second and a third. So it's really funny because Debo, I was listening to the DLF flagship, and this was like 2-3 weeks ago at this point, and they were talking about Debo, and Matt's Ryan McDowell out. Said it was very strange how Debo seems to hold his ADP at like third, fourth round, but his trade value just keeps tanking. Yeah. But he still gets drafted nice and early. So,
well, because when you're doing the mock, the startup mocks, like you're thinking about, well, next year, and he'll be back, he'll be healthy. So, you know, he'll be running that offense with Trey Lance. That's appealing.
No,
I'll take Brandon Ayuk for, you know, half the price.
Yeah, honestly, I just stay away from the San Francisco offense in general. But
that's a problem because they've got some good weapons right now.
I know, but it's really annoying to try and figure out when they're going to do well. The last trade we have, Trade Addicts 10, and I kind of want to talk about this for a little bit beyond the trade itself, because the trade is just Jerick McKinnon for a third.
Oh, that's a shame. I wasn't sure how far back you would go. Okay.
How far back?
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd talk about a trade from like a week and a half ago or something.
No, I am not bringing back up the Devontae Adams trade, which just tanked my TA10 playoff run. We talked about it last week. I was happy about it. Now I'm sad about it. That's why you never look back.
Never look back.
That's why you never in any world create a podcast about looking back on trades.
Never look back.
Never look back.
Never.
So while trading a third for McKinnon is absolutely
I want McKinnon in that everywhere.
Like, so here's my question for you. And this is what originally had me go and like get that last chunk of the last few weeks. From week 12 to week 15, Jerick McKinnon is the running back 3.
Yeah. I left him on the bench in a league and I played Pacheco above him in week 15. I got bounced by 3 points. Oof. I was like, I think they both do well, and like Pacheco's got to get that guaranteed like rushing volume.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have crushed.
But also, Pacheco is also pretty helped by if you have return yardage in your league. He's very good at returning. But that's also, just wanted to put in there, a lot of the running backs we've been talking about, James Conner, RB4, AJ Dillon, RB5, David Montgomery, RB7.
Yeah.
But here's...
This is why I don't want to take Bijan at 101. I will. Don't get me wrong. He is the clear 101. I would rather trade because read that again, Russ. Who is winning playoff games in fantasy football right now?
Josh Jacobs and Christian McCaffrey are 1 and 2. Yeah, let's not pretend that no one is doing well that we hope to do well. But Josh Jacobs,
we all were just really banking on Josh Jacobs to have this kind of year.
Jerick McKinnon, James Conner, AJ Dillon, Austin Eckler, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Zeke, Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, J.K. Dobbins, and then Ramondre Stevenson and Dalvin Cook.
Beginning of the year, before this year started, let's go down that list again. How many of them had a trade value of a 23 first? CMC did. Josh Jacobs at the beginning of the year? Probably not.
Didn't know. I can tell you he didn't. Like, he did not. Eckler did.
Yes.
AJ Dillon might have in the right league.
I think AJ Dillon and Jones were probably close, but maybe right outside it.
Derrick Henry should have.
Derrick Henry, yes. Saquon Barkley, probably yes.
Aaron Jones-ish?
I think Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. I think if it was just one of them, it would have been a yes. But I think the fact that it was both of them, they're the classic, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they were like a 24 first. So.
And I think Saquon Barkley was getting a first. And that's like, I don't think Dalvin was.
I think Dalvin's probably in there too.
But it was hard. It was like, you know, it wasn't easy to get a lot of
running backs that are just, they probably could have been acquired for a second or less off the waiver wire.
So I am going to.
Running back, gross.
I'm going to pull up my Trade Addicts 8 team where Kane is giving me a hard time and wants me to trade for Jerick McKinnon. Now, besides the fact I don't really have any, I don't have any thirds or fourths. You know, I don't have anything to trade, but okay. So let's pretend I do trade for him and I'm going to click submit lineup. So I'm starting Kirk Cousins, right? Geno Smith. Thank God I have so many Geno Smith because
I know. He's also, he's got a really good matchup this week, right?
So oh, yeah.
Kansas City, like this should be a good one.
Okay. So, because this should have been Jalen Hurts, but thankfully I have Geno. So I'm starting two quarterbacks. And hold on, let me make sure that this is actually 10 players. Yes, it is. So two quarterbacks, Saquon Barkley, James Conner, Tony Pollard, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Gerald Everett, and Travis Kelce.
So you probably, if you get McKinnon, you have to make the decision. It's probably Everett. Well, maybe not in a trade annex because of the settings.
I mean,
even still, it might Everett, be over Pollard. Like
Everett is on, super safe. Everett is 11 points like every single week. So
when Mike Williams was back last week, is that the first time they've had Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Everett?
Yeah, he still gets 6 to 8 targets no matter what's happening.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm trying to think. You said Pollard, and who was the other like lower sides? Like you're not James starting Connor. Over. You're definitely not starting him over James Conner this week.
I'm not starting him over Saquon Barkley.
No,
because he's Saquon and they're playing Minnesota.
I think it's worse Pollard. Pollard's playing the Eagles, right? So
like, but Pollard also coming off of 24, 22 and 15.
Yeah.
Games. Like it's not like, again, like I, trading for Jerick McKinnon right now clearly seems to be the right move, but if you're a team that is strongly in the playoffs, how do you
make didn't put decision? Him in over Pacheco, so like I couldn't push the button on him because he had only like it's not often that he does it. Yes, he's done it 2 weeks in a row, but I wasn't going to go off just 1 week. It felt like it was chasing points to me, and I felt like Pacheco would be just as good. And it didn't work out. I got burned and I got bounced because of it. It's probably the right move to acquire him for what was the cost? A third and a fourth or something?
I mean, that trade was just straight up a third.
A third. Like that's the right cost to acquire him.
Right.
If nothing else, he's not going to be used against you. What you, Russ, personally hate about it is then you have to make the decision. And if you just don't make the trade, then you don't even have to make the decision.
See, I like that you don't approve of most of me, but you at least get me.
I do. It's wrong. It's a terrible, terrible process. But I know you're not going to change. So I think you make the trade. If all you have to do is give a third for him.
I mean, I don't have a third. Literally, that's the problem.
What happens if you advance? What happens if you advance and somebody gets hurt? Like, then if you try to get him, if he has another good week, then it's going to cost you a second.
So here, I'm going to pull up the trade screen. Let's do this live. Even it's not like Kane's going to answer it live. I have to see what I have that would even be worthwhile. Him. Trey McBride?
He might like Trey McBride, actually. That might do it.
Would you, and you'd be willing to send that?
Would I?
Mm-hmm.
What else you got? I'd rather have Trey McBride sitting on my roster for a little while, even though.
I have bad backup quarterbacks, CJ Beathard, Ian Book, and Teddy Bridgewater.
No, none of them are getting it done.
Drew Lock and Geno Smith, and I need Geno.
Not getting it done.
Saquon, James Conner, and again, this is Kane, who is not in the playoffs, so it's not like he needs these guys anyway. Travis Homer, Mark Ingram, Cordarrelle Patterson, who I'm not even starting, Samaje Perine, Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Wilson.
None of those are getting a ton.
Nelson Agholor, Keenan Allen, Robbie Anderson, De'Ami Brown, Russell Gage, Chris Godwin. That guy's not on the team. Jarvis Landry, Justin Ross, and he's staying on my team anyway. Why do I have Manny Sanders on my team? Laquan Treadwell's on the Seahawks? That's
none awesome. Of those are getting it done yet.
Nope. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Gerald Everett. I still have Jimmy Graham on my team. OJ Howard, Travis Kelce, Trey McBride, Albert O, and Logan Thomas.
So it probably is Albert O or Trey McBride that you have to send it.
I honestly already sent Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Albert O for me.
Yeah, it's probably Trey McBride that it takes to get it done. And that probably does get it done because he's probably got like that, that he's got, I bet that would get it done. You don't have, you literally have no third round picks.
I have no picks.
No picks. I don't want to give Trey McBride up because I think he's worth more, but that is what it will take to get it done. And if you're not going to start him, then I wouldn't do it. I agree with you. If you're not going to start him, I would not do it. But I think you have to be prepared that if you advance and he and you end up needing him next week, it's not going to be Trey McBride. Then it's going to be even tougher.
So here's really what I'm,
I wouldn't do it. I agree with you. Don't do it. Cause you're not going to start him. So you don't have to do it.
Well, I right before we started recording, I sent out the Westbrook-Ikhine and Albert O. I don't care about either of those two, but they're young. Yeah. So hopefully maybe Kane cares a little bit, in which case I'll be fine to have him on my team. But I guess like it's really funny, like whenever I do have to make a decision, especially when we're talking about the playoffs, it always comes down to which will make it harder for me to live with myself. And it really is hard for me to. I mean, I love Jerick McKinnon, too, which is the really worst thing. But like, I don't know, like how bad I would feel about like I went out, like I had Tony Pollard. He was doing more than fine. And then I went out and did this move, started this guy, and then I got kicked out.
Yeah. Like, and there's a good chance that you, there's a good chance that Jerick McKinnon doesn't make the decision on whether or not you get bounced. Granted, I just got bounced because I didn't play. I'm trying not to let that completely sway my argument.
No, let the personal bias fly.
No, I think the right move is what you're saying is you're not going to start him. So I'm not giving up Trey McBride for him.
Yeah.
If you want him, that is what you have to give up off that roster. That's the right price. And it's probably what Kane would accept.
Yeah. I'm going to have to see what happens and see what goes on. And then if it does go through, or if I do go through other leagues, I'm just going to ask so many people what I should do and then blame everyone else when it doesn't work. And not.
I'm already blaming Matt for like how I'm going to mess up that one league that I've been talking about all day.
Oh yeah.
I will end up starting Burrow and Lamb just like Matt said. And then when they brick, I will blame him.
There's nothing you can blame if you lose with some of these rosters that you've been showing me lately. It just wasn't meant to be if you lose.
I have gone all in.
Yeah. And it is very pretty to look at.
It is pretty. It is so pretty.
I can't bench anyone to put CeeDee Lamb in my lineup. I don't know what to do.
I'm not kidding. Like,
no, I'm not. Yeah, no, I'm not joking. He has that problem. But on that note, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I realized we didn't actually let you say anything about who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do. So why don't you do that now?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at JohnBoschFF. You can find me doing a couple of podcasts whenever somebody else is willing to edit it. I have a couple
of fantastic. Hey, it's this
guy. Yeah, I have a couple of fantastic editors. Most of my work you'll find over on the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast feed. You will find me on Dynasty Game Night on this podcast feed at times. A lot of fun there. Again, with that guy. So, you know, Russ and I have some fun together.
We do.
You'll see me doing a whole bunch of stuff for Fantasy Cares as well. So as the season's coming down, we are getting ready to flip over to 2023. And folks, we have some fun coming. So
I'm not going to lie. I'm ready to flip over to 23 with that stuff. Like I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. I am too. Like, I think we are going to have a very exciting 2023 with Fantasy Cares.
But speaking of, for right now, ffpodshirts.storenv.com. We still have all of our SFB12 stuff up there. And I mean, it's still going. You might still be in it. You might still be rooting for someone in your division and you don't have a t-shirt yet. What's wrong with you? Go buy a t-shirt, buy a mug, buy the awesome sweatshirt John's wearing right now. And as always, every single penny goes straight to Fantasy Cares. We've done our shopping this year, so it's going to go to next year's shopping, but still, let's get started now. Let's get more stuff for next year. And patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you can watch us record so you can see the awesome sweatshirt that John is wearing right now and comment on the show as we're watching it or be in the awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club, and all of that fun stuff. But speaking of fun stuff, my idea of fun right now is going to bed, and that's what I'm going to do. So good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.